Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah continues our series, The Gratitude Initiative, with a message titled, The Gratitude Attitude. Now here's Pastor Ray.
I was out of town doing some work, and Pastor Lauren held forth and brought the message, and I understand there was a tremendous response at the end of the service, especially to what the Lord had done. And I'm just so grateful for the gifts and the talents and the calling that God has placed in this church and people that can step into this pulpit and do a fantastic job. You know, and there are other teachers in this church as well. We have other pastors that are excellent in what they do, and they're often in other parts of the building teaching. In fact, I was talking to a father just this week, and he was just talking about how excited he is of the ministry of the youth department of Pastor Tom, and how blessed his son and how excited his son is to come and to listen to Pastor Tom's teaching. And he said to his father, "You know, Dad, I think I like Pastor Tom better than Pastor Ray. He's easier to understand." Yeah, that's right. Saul has slain his thousands, but David is 10,000. So I'm going to get my spear out and throw it to you. And, you know, and then all of the lay teachers that are in the church teaching in the Sunday School of Department for the Children, the Adult Learning Hour, and we have some amazing teachers in this place. And so I just want you to join me and say thank you to them. Would you put your hands together and just say, bless you for what you do? You know, I'm so grateful for them. I know what it takes to bring a message or to bring a lesson every week, and it's a lot of work, it's a lot of prayer, there's some anxiety involved in it, and you're putting yourself out there. And so any one of you who does that on a regular basis or even on a one-time basis, thank you so much. Well, let's look into God's Word this morning as we continue this gratitude theme. You know, out of all of the created life forms in the universe, out of all of the beings that God has created, only the human being, only the human animal was created with unlimited potential. Do you realize that? There's no other created being that is taking in breath that was created like mankind, like men and like women, that we have unlimited potential as a gift from the Creator. And I think that's what makes us the highest of God's creation, the highest of the created order. We have unlimited potential in God by His design. And there are two factors that make this so, that make this the case. One, we can choose. And two, we can change. What gives us our capacity for unlimited growth and achievement? The fact that we can choose and the fact that we can change. Now, I want to unpack those just for a moment, and I especially want to speak to our young people today, our high school and college students, as well as our middle school students that are over here. I want you to hear me on this, because if you will embrace these two truths, these life lessons, I guarantee you will be successful in life. Beyond knowing Jesus, and if you know Jesus and if you love Jesus, not much else can go wrong with you in life. Beyond that, these two things, if you will embrace these and always live these out, these will make you successful in life. And so let me talk about these. First of all, God has given us freedom of choice. God has given us, He has created us with a beautiful gift called choice. I can choose, not the least of which is to choose, listen to this, is to choose my response in any given set of circumstances. My circumstances don't dictate my response. I am responsible, response able. When things happen to me, I choose how I'm going to respond to them. A lot of people get that backwards. They say, well, my response is dictated by what happens to me. Those people are called losers in life. Winners get this, that only I decide how I'm going to respond. The noted Harvard psychologist William James, who is called the father of American psychology, said this. If you can, write this down. This is powerful. He said, the greatest discovery of our generation is that by changing the inner attitude of our minds, we can change the outer aspects of our lives. Again, people get that backwards. Some people think that it's the outer things that determine the inner attitude of my heart or my mind. Not true. Not true. If you submit to that, you're going to have challenges in life. You get that right, and you're going to be successful. Viktor Frankl, the well-known Jewish psychiatrist that was imprisoned during World War II, put in a Nazi concentration camp, abused by his captors in the horrible concentration camp known as Auschwitz. Observe people in that camp, his fellow prisoners who suffered the same mistreatment that he did. Horrible, horrible conditions, horrible torture. And he noticed that some of these prisoners either gave up and died, or they chose to live and they thrived. And he boiled the difference between the two, whether they would die or whether they would thrive. He boiled it down to this in his famous book, Man's Search for Meaning. This is what Frankl said. He said, "The one thing that you cannot take from me is the way I choose to respond to what you do to me. You can't take that freedom away from me, freedom of choice. The one thing you cannot take from me, you can take everything else, but you cannot take my freedom to choose how I respond to what you do to me. The last of one's freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given circumstance." Listen to this. God chooses what we go through. We choose how we go through it. Write that down, okay? Write that one down and live by that. God chooses what we go through. We choose how we go through it. There's on the screen. Let's say it together. God chooses what we go through. We choose how we go through it. Choice. The gift of choice. Freedom of choice. What a gift that God has given us. And then secondly, God has given us the ability to change. We can change. If you don't like what you are, or who you are, or what you're doing, change. God has given us the ability to change. Thank God I'm not the same person today that I was yesterday. And thank God I am not going to be the same person tomorrow that I am today. Thank God I can change. And Sister Noah is saying, hallelujah, he's going to change. Praise God. And I say that as well. Thank God. Praise the Lord. I am not going to be the same tomorrow as I was today. I can change. You see, with my cooperation, of course, God is chiseling me. He's molding me. He's shaping me. He's refining me. He's conforming me. He's transforming me down here for something greater up there. He's changing me now for something better then. God has given me the ability to change, and He is changing me with my cooperation. Now, the fountainhead or the wellspring for productive change in our lives ties back to the first gift that I talked about, the freedom to choose, specifically to choose to be grateful in all things. The thing that catalyzes growth and change in your life is this very thing that we've been talking about, the freedom to choose to be grateful in all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. That's powerful, it's simple, it's profound, but it's true. That we are to give thanks in all circumstances because this is God's will. This is God's will for us. You see, choosing to be grateful will unleash God's power to redeem our circumstances, good or bad, especially the bad. It unleashes God's power to redeem our circumstances, which in turn unleashes divine potential, the divine potential to change us. There's a wonderful writer, profound writer by the name of Sarah Bon Bronach, who said this. And I wish you could write this down. It's a bit long, and so maybe you can go on our web and copy it down in the notes, or I'll have our social media team put it on Facebook and Twitter. I want you to get this. This is so powerful. I want you to think about this. But this is what she wrote. She wrote, "You simply won't be the same person 2 months from now after consciously giving thanks each day for the abundance that exists in your life. And you will have set in motion an ancient spiritual law." That's what I'm talking about, the law of gratitude, the law of choice, the law of change. "You will have set in motion this ancient spiritual law, which is this: the more you have and are grateful for, the more you will be given." And I would just change that to say, even if you don't have anything, the more you're grateful, the more God's abundance will come to you. Gratitude. The choice to be grateful. Thank God for choice. Thank God for change. Thank God for unlimited potential in God that gets unleashed through gratitude. It's powerful. That's why in this gratitude initiative, our team has been inviting you into the practice of thankfulness. I hope you've been doing that. But today, I want to challenge you beyond just these 30 days, that we keep the revolution of thanks going in our lives by developing not just the practice, but the attitude of gratitude. I want to talk to you about the attitude of gratitude, the gratitude attitude today, that this would go beyond just this initiative and it would be lifestyle to us. My text this morning, as I mentioned to you a moment ago as I rolled this out, is Colossians 3:15 through 17. And by the way, I hope you would memorize this. Commit this to memory, because this too is a very, very, very powerful set of verses. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Now, the repetition of the word or the theme thanks or thanksgiving or gratitude in this text makes it obvious that gratitude is the key to Christ's peace ruling in our hearts. That's the key, gratitude. A couple of things about the first verse, verse 15, that I want to unpack before we move into some other things that I want you to hear this morning. Firstly, Christ's peace. Let the peace of Christ rule. Firstly, Christ's peace refers to being spiritually secure in an eternal God. And secondly, being emotionally stable in an unstable world. Anyone think the world has been a little bit unstable lately? Anyone think our nation, our culture has been a little unstable over the past couple of weeks, over the past couple of months? It's been real instability socially and relationally because of the things that we've been going through as a nation. It's unstable. The peace of Christ is emotional stability when everything else is really shaky. The peace of Christ is eternal stability in God when everything else is going to pieces. So the peace of Christ refers to being spiritually secure and emotionally stable. The word rule, interesting Greek word. The word rule here, let the peace of Christ, or the word of Christ, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. The word rule in the Greek language meant umpire. It referred to an umpire, a referee in a contest. That was the word. Let the peace of Christ umpire in your life. In other words, God's peace is the umpire. The peace of Christ is the umpire that makes the final call between your emotions and your circumstances. Your circumstances aren't to make the final call. Something bad happens to you. Something negative happens to you. Are you going to get anxious? Are you going to get fearful? Are you going to get sad? Are you going to get angry? Your circumstances would say so. But Paul says, no. Don't let your circumstances control your emotions. Don't let your emotions control you or what you're going to do, how you're going to respond. Let the peace of Christ, security in God and stability in the world, let that make the final call. Let that throw the yellow flag when something happens in your lives. Let the peace of Christ umpire, referee in your life. That's verse 15. Now, not as obvious in this text, in these next several verses, are four choices that are embedded in the text that we must continually make to change thanks from a forced act or a forced practice into an organic attitude of gratitude. In this 30 days initiative for gratitude, I have been practicing gratitude, and that's the right thing to do. I'm glad I'm doing that. It's been a wonderful experience for me. But at times, it's been forced. I've had to force it. I've had to grit my teeth and say, thank you, God, for that. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I told you the story when the engine light, warning light came on in my car. I had to force gratitude at that moment. When I was out putting recycle in the bin, in that big bin that we have, and that lid hit me on the top of the head and about knocked me out, I had to force gratitude. Oh, thank you, God, for that whack on the head. That was just so wonderful of you to think of me in this moment. And there's times, if you've been doing this, there's times when you have forced gratitude, and that's the appropriate thing to do. But I would rather it be an attitude that just flows naturally in my response to life circumstances. It's like when you squeeze an orange, what comes out? Juice. When circumstances squeeze my life, I want the natural output, the natural outflow, to be gratitude. Well, how do we do that? Well, there are some practices or some choices, if you will, that we can make that create gratitude, an attitude of gratitude in our lives. So let me give you four of these. The first choice that creates the gratitude attitude is to perceive life, through God's Word. This is fundamental, fundamentally important. The first choice that we can make, that we need to make, is to perceive life through God's Word. There is a perspective that you can choose. Do you realize that you get to choose your perspective on life? You get to choose your outlook. You get to choose your worldview. Of course, people and circumstances influence that, but at the end of the day, it's your choice. How am I going to view the filter, the lens through which I'm going to view life? There is a Christianly way of thinking that leads to God, that leads to God's peace, ruling, refereeing, umpiring in your life. Look at verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word of Christ here refers to the express thoughts of Jesus that are recorded in Scripture. And the idea here is to so saturate your mind with the way that Christ thought, the way Christ responded to the world, to so saturate your mind with that, that it just oozes out of you and into your attitude, it spills over into your words, it flows out into your actions as you respond to life. Now, there is only one way. There is one way and one way only that this will happen in your life. There's only one way to allow the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly. And that is that you have to regularly soak in the Word of Christ. You have to regularly soak in the Word of God. And I know that some of you do that, and I know that some of you don't. And the way I know mostly these days is through Facebook and social media. I'm kidding, but that is a great way to see whether you're in the Word of God or not. There are some of you, especially over these last few weeks, the last couple of weeks, who are letting the word of Fox News rule in your heart. You're letting the word of Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly rule in your heart. There are some of you who are letting the word of CNN and Wolf Blitzer and whoever else they have over there rule in your heart. Because it's coming out. It's coming out more than the word of Christ is coming out. You know, one of the things that's been disheartening to me watching this election season is to see some of the things that Christians are saying on both sides of this equation. And I saw something this week that really was disturbing to me. I felt bad about this. I saw some Christian friends of mine who had posted an article that said there was a call for reconciliation. And in the article was a response to this call for reconciliation. This is, well, we will reconcile, but only in time. We've been hurt. We've been hurt deeply. And we will forgive, but not right away. Christians promoting this. Really? Really? How unbiblical. How un-Christ-like. You try that when you are standing before Jesus in the great, in the judgment seat of Christ. And he says to you, did you forgive this person? Did you forgive them just as I forgave you? How did he forgive you? Immediately and unconditionally. And you say, well, Jesus, you don't know how they disappointed, how they offended, how they hurt me. And Jesus is going to hold out those nail-pierced hands, and he's going to say, really? Really? How unbiblical. I don't know if that was a Republican or a Democrat, but but it goes both ways. I'm not picking on any one particular side. It goes both ways. That shows me that you're not soaking in the Word of Christ. The Word of Christ is not ruling in your heart, and there's only one way for that to happen. You've got to soak it in. You've got to soak in it. And if you're not, in Jesus' name, get with it. Here's what the Psalm, so many verses I could point to at this point, but Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, blessed. You know, the Hebrew word for blessed also means happy. And not just happy, but hilariously happy. You think some people need to lighten up today? They need to be hilariously happy? Blessed, hilariously happy are those whose delight is in God's law. And they meditate day and night on it. They are continually nourished and always prosperous. The first choice that we need to make to develop an attitude of gratitude is to perceive the world, to perceive life through the lens of God's Word. The second choice that creates the gratitude attitude is similar, is to praise God in all your circumstances. To praise God in all your circumstances. The rest of verse 16 also says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing songs of praise, grateful praise. And, you know, really praise and gratitude are just connected, aren't they? Singing songs of grateful praise brings God's presence into perilous times. And where God's presence is, there is peace. Praise does that for us. And that's why God's people are called to be a singing people. And in part, that's why we sing at the beginning of a service. I mean, there are other reasons, and namely, the most important reason is God deserves it. But the other reason is that it does something in us. It reorients our perspective, our attitude. And it focuses us on Almighty Sovereign God. And when people lift up their voices in praise, God is enthroned upon those praises. And where God's presence is, there His peace is as well. A great example of this is found in Acts chapter 16. You remember the story of Paul and Silas? A great story, isn't it? Paul and Silas were in Philippi, city of Philippi. And they were arrested for preaching the gospel. Not only arrested, but they were beaten. It wasn't just a slap on the wrist. In those days, they were beaten. They were beaten. They were bloody. They were messed up. And they were thrown in jail. And not only thrown in jail, but they were put in a stockade. And they were shackled, feet and arms. And the story goes that Around midnight, they were what? They were crying. They were whining. They were moaning. They were griping. They were criticizing. What were they doing? They were singing songs, hymns of praise. Praise God from whom all blessings. I don't know what they were singing, but they were singing praises to God. And what happens? In response to their praise, God sends an earthquake. And the earthquake was so big, apparently, it caused the chains to fall off their arms and their hands and their feet, and they were set free. That prophetically pictures, not only was that a real event in Paul's life, but that prophetically, theologically pictures what happens when in all things we choose to praise God. I was talking to a friend on on Friday, and this friend has a business, and it's a service industry business, and he has clients, and these clients pay for his services typically in cash. And the day before, he had taken a bag of cash that he had earned that day. I don't know if he had maybe even had several days of cash, and with his wallet, and he left it somewhere. I mean, it was a bunch of cash. He left it. And when he realized he had left it somewhere, not knowing where, he tried to retrace his steps, and he couldn't find it. And this cash was to pay the rent on his business. And he was like, oh, my goodness. And he said, you know, I just decided in that moment that, you know, I could really get distraught and discouraged and depressed, or I could just praise God. He said, so I just chose to start praising God. That morning when he was telling me this, I said, my sense is that God is going to more than take care of you. So don't worry about it. He texted me later on, and he said, you know, there was a client that came in and gave me a tip of several hundred dollars. I mean, that would not be a normal tip. Several hundred dollar tip. And he said, and then I got a call that someone had found my wallet and all of the cash was there. And I said, brother, you ought to lose your wallet more often. I mean, he not only got that back, but he got a tip on top of it. He got a tip for losing his wallet. I think, I can't prove this, but I think that would not have happened if he hadn't just praised God in response to those circumstances. I think it was praise that unleashed God to do something in his life in that situation. Praise brings God's presence, which always produces, his presence always produces protection and provision and peace. Develop the gratitude attitude by choosing to praise in all things, and you will live in God's peace at all times. Choose to praise God in all your circumstances, and you will live in God's peace at all times. Rejoice always, praise always, says 1 Thessalonians 5:16. This is God's will for you. The third choice that creates the gratitude attitude is to perform your duties in the name of God. Perform your duties in the name of God. Verse 17 says, whatever you do, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. Whatever you're doing in the world, whatever it is you've been given to do, formally or casually, professionally or in your free time, in a business, in the home, on the athletic field, in school, whatever you do, whether you're working with your mind or your voice or your hands, with your time, with your energy, with your money, here's the deal. If you're a Christian, you are on mission for God. Whatever you do, you're not on your own, you're not on your own time. You're not on the boss's time. You're not on the company's time. You're on God's time. As a Christian, you are on mission for God. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name or for the benefit of the Lord. You're on mission for God. Missionary well-known missionary, Hudson Taylor. You've heard his name probably. He said this, listen to this. He said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's provision. And it's all God's work if you're a child of God. If you make it God's work, it will never lack His provision. If you do it in His way, it will never lack His blessing. In what you do, learn to practice bringing God into it. Learn to practice the presence of God. We've talked about this example or this idea of practicing the presence of God. It was first originated, as far as I know, by a man we call Brother Lawrence, who was serving in a monastery. And he wasn't even a priest. He wasn't a cleric. He wasn't a monk. He just worked in the kitchen. And he became famous. And later on, the practice of the presence of God was written about his life and his rule of living, rule of serving. And he just said, look, in whatever I do, in serving in the kitchen, cooking meals, washing pots and pans, I'm going to practice the presence of God. I'm going to do it as unto the Lord. I'm going to invite God into my everyday, ordinary task. He learned the art of living in the presence of God throughout the day. And this is what Lawrence said. He said, I'm doing what I'm doing now, not referring to just washing pots and pans. I'm doing what I'm doing now for all eternity. What was he doing? He says, I am blessing God, I'm praising Him, I'm adoring Him, I'm loving Him with all my heart in what I'm doing. At all times, in all things, in every way, be on mission for God. Make God's work, and your work, God's work. Do that, do it, and you will be grateful that God has given you eternal work to perform in all the things that He's given you to do. That's how you develop the attitude of gratitude. Do all that you do as unto the Lord, in the name of the Lord. And then finally, the fourth choice that creates the gratitude attitude is to pray thankfully to God. Pray thankfully to God. Again, notice the theme of thanks that's running throughout these verses. Verse 15 says, be thankful. Be thankful. Verse 16 refers to gratitude in your hearts to God. Verse 17 says, giving thanks. Thanksgiving is simply the practice of reflecting back to God your acknowledgement of trust in His care and competence in and through and over every detail of your life. Your thanksgiving is just saying, God, I'm trusting You with this. I'm trusting You to care for me. I'm trusting that You are competent to care for me. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, great example, says, don't be anxious about what? About anything. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving. Prayer, thanksgiving. Present your request to God. Present your need to God. Present your circumstance to God. And listen to this, and the peace of God, the peace of Christ, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. In other words, you can't explain this. This cannot be explained by science. It can't be explained by psychology. It's beyond understanding. But the peace of God that transcends all, that passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The late Christian philosopher Dallas Willard defined the peace of God. We've already given a definition, but he further defined it this way. He said, the peace of God is the settled assurance that because of God's care and God's competence, this world is perfectly safe for me, even though it doesn't always seem so. That's beautiful. Because God is a God that cares for me, because He's competent, He's powerful, He's sovereign, this world is perfectly safe, even though it doesn't always look like it. That's the kind of settled assurance that you will have when you nurture the attitude of gratitude. In all your needs, present them to God through prayer and with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will rule your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And, no surprise here, that's the kind of settled assurance that Jesus lived in. You remember the story in Matthew 8 when Jesus and his disciples are in the boat on the Sea of Galilee and it's a raging storm? This lake, this sea was known for its fierce, deadly storms that would arise in an instant. And they're in this fishing boat and this storm arises and they're being tossed to and fro. And Matthew includes a really interesting detail in this story. He tells us that Jesus is what? What's Jesus doing? He's sleeping. He's not white-knuckling it. He's not yelling at the disciples, "Row harder, come on." I've been rafting with some brothers in the church. A couple of years, two or three years ago, we rafted the headwaters of the Nile. And there's some class 6 rapids that we went through, some waterfalls that we went over. And I'm telling you, some of those guys, I was very calm, but some of those guys, like Anthony Ketzel and Bob Benji, were white-knuckling and they were screaming like little girls. Not me. What was Jesus screaming and white-knuckling it? Oh, he was sleeping. He was sleeping. Now, Matthew included that detail because he wanted us to know what Jesus knew about life in the Father's hands. That given God's care and God's competence, the world was a perfectly safe place for him, even in the midst of a raging storm. And so he sleeps right through it. What a beautiful picture of what he wants us to know about our raging storms. Now, in their very real anxiety, and you can understand it, the disciples woke Jesus up. And they went to him because they knew, they believed that he could help them. They had faith in Jesus, didn't they? They had faith in Jesus, that's why they went to him. But they didn't have the faith of Jesus. They had faith in Jesus, but they didn't have the faith of Jesus, not yet, anyway. Wouldn't you love to not only have faith in Jesus, but the faith of Jesus that just says, there's a storm going on, I'm going to take a nap because of God's care and God's competence. When you nurture an attitude of gratitude, you will live in the faith of Jesus. By offering grateful prayer in all things, you nurture an unwavering belief that God's care and God's competence makes this world a perfectly safe place for you and yours. And as you do, if you will, Christ's peace will follow you around like a bloodhound. And like that umpire making the final call, the peace of Christ will rule between your emotions and your circumstances. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I have experienced a wonderful journey these past 30 days by just specifically doing that. I've been practicing gratitude, and I have a sense that it's becoming an attitude that just is going to flow, I hope, from this point going forward. It's just an attitude that's going to flow out of me, and it's going to be my natural response to life. And I've been noticing what it's done for me in this really crazy season that we've been in our culture. Just was reflecting on that this week, and I thought, you know, the practice of gratitude in my life has, during this time, has calmed my emotions, has soothed my anger at times. I've been angry at times about stuff, and I just stop and I just say, God, thank you. You're in control. You care. You're going to take care of this. And there's just this calming effect that it's had in my life. At times, I've recognized that it's calmed my annoyance with people and my desire to correct everyone. I want to correct people for what they're thinking and what they're feeling and what they're saying. And it's just, at times, just the being grateful to God and the peace of God that comes through that just says, you know, just back off and let them process through that themselves. They'll be okay. It's deepened my appreciation for people. It's caused me to notice all of the good things that God has brought into my life. It changes. It calms. It nurtures my spirit. This reminded me that no matter what, this world is a perfectly safe place for me and for mine because of God's sovereign care and competence over my life and over yours as well. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.